Well, hey, good morning and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Paul. I'm the teaching pastor for the Marion campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off a brand new series called Uncommon Crown. And we were looking at this concept that Jesus is, he's an uncommon king who wears and establishes an uncommon kingdom, not one that is physical in nature, but one that is spiritual in nature. And Jesus really came to establish the spiritual kingdom in our hearts. And to see that first, we were in the Old Testament prophetic book of Isaiah, and we were looking at primarily this prophecy that Isaiah gives, according to the word of the Lord in chapter 9. And Isaiah 9:6 says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." So an extraordinary prophecy that would be fulfilled 700 years later in the birth of Christ, what we celebrate on Christmas, right? But this promise comes and is inserted into a really interesting and tragic story, namely the story of a king called Ahaz, who is the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, which is part of God's chosen nation. At the time, Israel, as we commonly think of God's chosen nation, was divided into two kingdoms, one kingdom in the north and another in the south. Israel was in the north and Judah in the south. And as we open up chapter 7, what we see is the king of Judah, his name is Ahaz, and there's a lot of political tension going on. And the king of Israel aligns with the king of Syria, a foreign power, essentially. And they come to Jerusalem to essentially take over and kill Ahaz and take over his kingdom and take over Judah. Well, of course, this terrifies Ahaz, the king. And so the text describes it as he and the people are trembling like trees blown in the wind. But God is good, and God knows his fear. God sees the situation. And so God gives a message to Isaiah the prophet to go to Ahaz and say, "Look, don't be afraid. I've got this. You don't need to worry about this." Certainly there could be hardship, essentially. And I'm paraphrasing here just to be clear, if that wasn't obvious. But I've got this. And what becomes clear is that Ahaz is doubting. He's not strong in faith. He's not firm in faith. And so God knows this. And God is gracious and merciful to Ahaz in this moment. And he says, "Okay, Ahaz, well, ask me for a sign. And the sign essentially will be evidence to you that I will deliver you, that I am faithful, that I am good." And so, interestingly, Ahaz says, "Well, I don't want to put you to the test." And that sounds super spiritual, but it's actually disobedience, because God said, "Hey, ask me for a sign." Spirituality disguised, disguised as a religion, really. Anyway, that's not the main point. And so Ahaz refuses to ask for a sign, and God says, "Well, fine, I'm going to give you a sign then. I'm going to give you my own sign." And this is the sign that God gives in chapter 7. He says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now think about that for a minute. We're on this side of history, where we know Jesus came. He dwelled with the people, God in the flesh, God with us. That's what the name or the word Emmanuel means, and that really describes Jesus's nature, right? People have asked, "Well, why wasn't he called Emmanuel? Why is he called Jesus?" Again, that's to describe his nature and his purpose to be God with us. But if you think about that, that's God's sign to give confidence to Ahaz that he will be faithful to Ahaz and Judah and deliver them from their enemies if they will believe in him, essentially. And if you think about it, that's a bit of an interesting sign, because it wouldn't be fully fulfilled. And there's some other details we could go into here about a child that Isaiah has, but that prophecy isn't fully fulfilled for 700 years. And so I think the question becomes, well, God, why would you give a promise to be fulfilled 700 years from now as a way to give assurance and confidence to someone who's experiencing a real life hardship in the moment right now? And what we see tragically is Ahaz, he sort of sticks around for the conversation initially, where he says, "God, I don't want to test you, but there's really some disbelief in there." And then when God says, "Look, I'm gonna have a baby be born," you can almost imagine Isaiah's like, excuse me, Ahaz is saying, like, I'm out. I don't understand. And tragically, Ahaz is out. Second Chronicles tells us that Ahaz goes and he makes an alliance with a different foreign nation, Assyria, to defend himself. And eventually that backfires. Ahaz closes up the temple. He begins to worship false gods in an attempt to buy them off and gain protection. I mean, he leads Judah into horrific sin and ultimately into destruction, to death, and into exile. And it's a tragic story. But the hinging point here, I think, is that the future, the far-off promise of the future, actually causes Ahaz to reject the present tense promise, or the promise in the moment. God had promised Ahaz, look, I'm going to help you if you just believe in me. And then when God says this is going to happen in the future, Ahaz essentially rejects the promise of the present. And that's it sounds a little bit confusing, I think, and I'm trying to be clear here, but really what we got into is, look, we need to look to the promises of the future and allow them to give us hope and to give us courage to believe and trust in the promises of today, right? We can't allow the far-off nature of the promises of the future, that one day every tear will be wiped away, that one day those who have, fallen asleep will be brought with Christ, that all of these things that we know are future promises, we can't allow the far-off feeling of those promises to discourage us to lose hope in the present moment today. And I believe the way that we do that is we cling to who Jesus is promised to be back in chapter 9, when we saw that he would be Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the government would be upon his shoulders, Everlasting Father, all of these names that Jesus is, he is them currently. He is those things present tense. And so what we do is we lean into the counsel of Christ today. We lean into the reality that Jesus is in control today. We lean into the fact that Jesus is reigning and ruling today. The government is upon his shoulders. His reign and rule is now. And I think when we lean into that, it allows us to have confidence in the future. And it prevents us from being discouraged and to think, is the future ever going to come? And it really gives us endurance as we wait for the future coming of Christ. And I hope that's an encouragement for you today. If you're in a season, or if you're in a time of waiting, if you're in a time of feeling like you're surrounded, maybe like Ahaz, and there's no way out, and you're looking at these promises of the scriptures that one day every tear would be wiped away, and you're saying, God, why aren't my tears wiped away today? I'm praying that you can find hope in the confidence of the promises that God has given you today. That through faith in Christ, you are a new creation right now in Jesus. That you are adopted as a co-heir with Christ. That your sins are gone. Jesus' first coming was to deal with sin. His second coming is to deal with suffering. And I think we need to cling to that as we wait and as we endure. We need to cling to who Christ is today. So to that end, I want to lead us into a prayer time. And so I'm going to pray for us first, and then I'm going to give you some time to pray as well. And I also just want to say thanks for joining us today. And I do hope, as you listen to these, they're an encouragement to you, that you cling to Christ more fully and more completely, and that you trust in his goodness. So let's pray to that end today. Father, sometimes it's so difficult to endure hardship today, and to ask, God, why don't you make all of those promises that we know are coming? Could they just be today? But would you allow us to cling to the wonders that you've given us today, that everything I said a moment ago, that we are yours, that we are made new, that we have good work set out for us to do, all of these things. Would you allow us to see those today and to believe in those today and stand firm in faith today as we await your second coming, when all the sufferings will be wiped away? Would you allow us to care most today that our sin can be wiped away through faith in you? Lord, we need you. We trust you. We love you. Lead us as we go. Help us glorify you in all that we do say and think. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.